You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Minor prophet, okay, if we'd all turn to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, being a minor prophet. Okay, verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids of those days will I pour out my spirit. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered from Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now may the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word, in Christ's name.
The sound of children. Beautiful sound. Now, I'll tell you one time when you've got to be a little bit worried about the sound of children, especially the small ones, and that's when you're getting on a flight from, say, Los Angeles to New Zealand, and the first sound you hear is, now, that's going to be a problem if it continues. However, hopefully you haven't had too many of those flights. I've had a couple of flights where there's been just absolutely no sleep possible. They're just completely noisy. My flights, long flights, began way back in the 80s, actually, when I did some flights from America to New Zealand. And in those days, we actually had smoking allowed in the flights. The most ridiculous thing possible, where you would have no smoking and smoking seats. Well, you know, you've got this tube flying through the air and, you know, smoking, non-smoking. Really? You know? Not really. I mean, when you'd see the lights come on after supposedly some rest, the whole cabin is just packed with smoke. You know, so everyone was a smoker on that flight. So those are some of the crazy things that happened in the past. Anyway, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, for the wonderful grace that has come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His finished work, as He said, it is finished, tetelestai. It's paid in full. We thank Thee, our Father, we can look back on a finished work. There's nothing more for us to do. It is finished. We thank Thee for His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, today we have got our last message on this series. So it's been a good series, I think. I've learned a lot from it, which is about the Acts of the Apostles. And many of you will have done your own reading and read through the book of Acts. You may have taken seriously the books that I've mentioned, commentaries and things that you could read and look at. And there's some very good ones that we made available and free, actually, to download on the internet by Welsh and by others, Stuart Allen. And we have gone through these and learned a lot. And so there are some very important issues that have come up, you know, whenever you look at the Bible. And one of the big things, I think, for people today is to really get sorted what is God's will for practice, for how we should worship, for what we should expect in our lives. How should we conduct ourselves as Christians in terms of what our expectations are from our God? I mean, the Bible is a huge book. I mean, it's too big for a small town boy like me. Right? It's going to keep me occupied. It has kept me occupied. And I can see from my own reading and understanding of the Bible, I'm never going to conquer this book. Right? It's just too big. It's got too much that's interlocking. It touches on every facet of what you might want to study, language, archaeology, history, everything. It touches on everything. If you wanted to really become someone who is truly knowledgeable about the Bible, well, it's mission impossible. It's mission impossible. So what you've got to do is you've got to come to it and trust God that His Spirit would certainly unite with your spirit to teach you and give you understanding of what's going on. But the Scripture themselves, of course, is where we've got to go. That's our primary source of understanding. So the Scriptures, very important that we get this right. I mean, if we come to the Scriptures and we've been told, for example, you can't trust the Bible, well, then we've got all sorts of problems, haven't we? We've got all sorts of difficulties in knowing then what part of the Bible is what God said and what part of it is man said. And so understanding what God has said, the Bible becomes very central. And today the Bible is under attack. You may realize this. And so I want to start up a series after this one, which will be, we'll look at the Bible and come to understand what is the Bible? What is inspiration? What does it mean that the Word of God is inspired? There is certainly a doctrine of inspiration. There's no doubt about that. And when I say a doctrine of inspiration, I'm referring to something which I call the Bible. And we need to see whether that in itself makes any kind of sense. What does it mean to talk about the Bible and inspiration? And then there is also another doctrine, which is preservation. Now, a lot of people want to talk about the inspiration of the Bible, and they want to talk about the fact that it was inspired in the sense of its original. The originals were inspired. But the idea of preservation becomes problematic to them. Because, okay, if it's inspired in the original, then we can all affirm that. It's easy. We can all agree with that. It's inspired in the original. But we don't have the originals. The originals are not with us. So if you also believe in preservation, as I do, well, what does that mean in terms of what we have in front of us today? Aren't these good questions? I mean, these are pretty good questions. So we want to look at this whole issue to do with the Bible. What is the Bible for us today? There are plenty of contending doctrines and ideas around this. And you'll see by going to a Bible bookstore, you'll see that there are plenty of books which are called Bibles. And yet if you were to compare them one with the other, it's not just a matter of translation. It's not just a matter of saying, well, here we have the word which means book, and another word here which is being translated as scripture. It's not just a matter of the English. And how do we know this? Well, because what we'll find is that we'll get verse marks 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. That doesn't look like integers to me. I mean, the integers would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But in many Bibles, it seems like verses are skipped in some places. And that creates doubt, don't you agree? I mean, if you picked up a Bible and it didn't have the verse, and then it might have a little dagger here, and then you look down the bottom here at the dagger and it says, "Better manuscripts do not include this verse." Then all of a sudden you realize, uh-oh, there is some kind of issue going on here. Some sort of issue is going on about the manuscripts. And surely this impinges on this doctrine of preservation. Inspiration to me is just not an issue of the originals. I'm talking about the inspiration of the originals. So what? I mean, that's We clearly must have that if we are any kind of believer as a Christian. But the preservation is going to be important. So what we'll do is, next time we come, I'm going to begin a series on the Bible. And I think it's about time we did this. And we'll look at what's going on there. But this particular series, as we come to the finish, we've been looking at this business of the book of Acts. And as I started saying, it's important because we want to know what instructions has God given us. How do we then live in the age in which we find ourselves? Because during this time of the book of Acts, you'll find that there were various epistles written. And we are interested in especially the writings of Paul. And you might say, well, why have you singled out Paul? Well, there's very good reason for why we're interested in Paul, because Paul says himself that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. And as we go along here, we see that during this time, Paul is going to the Jew first. So we get one system of epistles here, and I'm including Hebrews in here, right? I'm including Hebrews, Hebrews, of course, is written to the Hebrews. So we find one epistle which we think is written by Paul to the Hebrews. Otherwise, we have this Jew first, where in each of the epistles you find the first word is Paul. Romans 1:1, Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul. But when you come to Hebrews, his name is not on there. And we discussed, you know, why we've got some good reasons for believing that Paul wrote Hebrews and kept his name off there because he wanted to get the association with the Jew. Now, going across here, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we'll put them here, 7 epistles. And then what we find is that there's another collection of epistles, another 7, which is written later on. Right? Others. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? Another 7. And then over here, we say, well, okay, certainly Paul is the writer, but I'm going to write his name just a little bit differently, just to draw out some emphasis to it. So here I've put this as AU, capital AU, because I want to remind you that to Paul was given this revelation of the mystery, right? He talks about this, the mystery. And unfortunately, it's still a mystery to many people. It was called the mystery because it was hidden God. And then when God releases and reveals this, of course, it's no longer a mystery. But the problem is that for many people this still is kind of a secret, and that's unfortunate. We're trying to bring this out and show people that this is a very important part of the teaching of the scriptures. So you have 7 epistles here, and then you've got another 7 over here, and these 7 over here are written from prison. So we often call these prison epistles, or in the main. Now, when I say in the main, there are some epistles here where Paul was released from jail and he moves about and he writes things. But the important thing about the prison epistles is this is where Paul makes known the revelation of the mystery. Now, you say, well, okay, what's the big deal? Why are you talking about all this? Well, in this time here, when Jew was first, the doctrines that you find in the book of Acts coincide with the doctrines of the epistles written during that time. So, for example, you'll have, in going to the Jew, Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, Romans chapter 15, Galatians chapter 3, you'll find through this time there is an emphasis being made on various signs, tongues, there's languages that were delivered supernaturally to people, and they could use these things. There was healings, real healings. We're not talking about fake things. We're talking about the real McCoy, where people could be raised from the dead and healed, and there'll be manifestation of the tongues. Very important doctrines going on here. And then there was an expectation of prayer. The way that people would pray. They would pray, believing, and God would supernaturally answer many of these prayers with healings that were obviously signs and different from, say, our perspective today. When we pray, and we may pray with believing anticipation, but many times God would just say no. A person might get cancer, and we would pray for them, and we would really want them to be healed. And God would say, no, that's not going to happen. The expectation here is very, very different. Let me just show you something here which we can look at. Have a look across here to the book of James. So go across to the book of James. This is not one of Paul's epistles, but nonetheless written by someone who had a ministry during the time of the Acts and was inspired by God. James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So here we have a minister. He's not Paul. He has a group of people who he's ministering to, which is the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And as you go across to the end of this particular section of the epistle, chapter 5, it's quite remarkable how he talks. It says this in verse 14. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Well, this is a remarkable passage. You notice the way in which it's stated, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, are you a believer in the scriptures? Well, we've got to, of course, discuss what the scriptures are, but for now, I'm going to just take it, what we've got in front of us are the scriptures. Do you believe them? Well, it says right here, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So next time you get ill, what we'll do is, we'll come to this passage here, we'll bring the person forward, and we'll pray this prayer of faith. And we'll claim this passage here, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. How do you think about that? How's your faith going to get on when what we know is going to happen is going to happen? Now, you say, well, Wayne, you're an unbeliever. You don't believe the scriptures. I do believe the scriptures, but there's something else that I also believe. I also believe in this. I believe that the scriptures have to be rightly divided. You have to understand that God has an outworking purpose. And the first purpose in the Bible that we need to get straightened is the purpose in relationship to Israel. Because Israel was chosen to be a kingdom of priests. Its job was to go out and preach, man, to the nations. But here is the question. See, chosen. Chosen. They were chosen for service. Do you believe in choice? Do you believe in the elect? Yes. I believe there's a doctrine of election in the Bible, which is not Calvinistic, by the way. But there is a doctrine of election in the Bible. And it's primarily got to do with service, a choice for a job. And Israel was the elect nation. Its job was to go out and preach to all the other nations. Now, there's a problem here. The problem here is that the nation might say, no, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Got some examples in the Bible? Well, yeah. We certainly do have some examples. What about Jonah? Is he a good example of one of the prophets? Of this chosen nation, which had this responsibility to go out. Go to Nineveh! No. I'm getting on the boat, and I'm off to Spain. I like the beaches there, man. I want to get out of here, man. Well, God says, sorry, we're going to get a storm going, and you're going to get a little inquisition inside the stomach of the fish. All right? You're going to have to learn something about the stomach. Well, he gets killed in there, and he's vomited up on the beach. He's resurrected, and he has to learn. The hard way, man. The hard way. Now, you can learn the easy way, or you can learn the hard way. I'll be honest with you. I had to learn the hard way about this stuff. I really did. I had to learn the hard way. I had to entertain the possibility that I, as a Christian, I should be manifesting the gifts of the Spirit like they did in the book of Acts. I should be doing this. And when I found that I certainly could not, and when I saw that there were no resurrections, when I saw that there were no manifest people being healed as they were here. Now, I do believe in healing. Let me get this straight. I believe that God can heal people and does, from time to time, heal people. But as a manifest action of the Spirit, given promises like James 5, no, they don't happen today. I'm sorry, they don't. You say, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Okay, good. You want to believe that? You can. You can believe it. You can believe that resurrections happen today. Someone out in dimmest, darkest Africa somewhere, someone came up. Yeah, it's interesting, it's always somewhere over there, right? But here, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Why? Why? Ah, now we're getting to it, right? Now we're getting to it. The reason why it doesn't happen today is because God has changed his dealings. He has the nation of Israel that were chosen to go out and preach. And through this time, what's going on, Paul is trying to reach this nation. Get on with your job. Messiah has come. Get on with your job. Will you receive Jesus as your Messiah? And if you would repent, then guess what? All sorts of things would come on this earth. The earth would be revitalized. And man, if you want to know how powerful Israel will be when they preach, just look at the 144,000 mentioned in the book of Revelation. And there you will see what a redeemed Israel will be like. Man, they'll be able to preach. The power of the Spirit will be upon them. Okay, so during this time, what do we find? Paul, yeah, he's certainly got a job to the Gentile. But his job was to provoke Israel to jealousy using the Gentile. The Gentiles got in. Yeah, they certainly did. Let's just go back here a little bit. And let's just go across to the book of Romans. So the important point that we had come through, you know, after this big study about, you know, when were the epistles written and how important it was, comes down to the things that we're talking about now. So if you look at Romans chapter number 11, so Romans straight after the book of Acts and then the 11th chapter, it says this. In verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Well, just before I continue reading, so Romans is one of these epistles. In fact, we believe it's one of the last one in this line. Romans. Has God cast away his people? Look what it says here. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What, you not? Know you not? What the scripture saith of Elias? how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself, look at this, 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Here's a remnant. Okay. Now, during this time, there's tremendous unbelief. We can see it. Right through the book of Acts, man. And they would throw dust up in the air and rip their robes apart. We will not have this man to rule over us, says the Jews. They go to the next town and find the synagogue and then start preaching there. And it says this in verse 5, even so, here's the comparison. Even so then, at this present time. What present time? You mean today? No. This present time fixes the time in the book of Acts. At this present time. That's why this study was important. This study that we conducted was important because it allowed us to see where Romans applies and how it conforms to the doctrine of the book of Acts. Okay, cool. And it says, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Oh, this is nice. This is nice. I love this. You know, the oil and water? Have you tried mixing oil and water? Well, you can do it if you really get aggressive with it. But it becomes sort of like this mixed emulsion of bubbles and oil. Naturally, oil and water will not mix. You know? And that's like grace and works. Grace and works. God's got an elect. And he is working through them and bringing this great doctrine, which is by grace. And it goes down a little bit further. And it says this. Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Oh, good. Okay, there's the Gentiles. I like that. I'm a Gentile, member of the nations. I'm not a Jew. So here I'm quite excited about seeing that, you know, part of the group I am involved with is being mentioned here. And it says in verse 14, if by any means, whoa, now let's just think about that expression. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. Oh, man. Now, I don't feel so great about this. I mean, I'm glad to be included, it would appear. But it looks like I'm being used as some sort of instrument. You see? And so while it is true that you can find the inclusion of the Gentiles during this time, there is a condition to it. You're being used to provoke the Jew to emulation. He's trying to reach. Has God cast away his people? God forbid. No, no way. Not here. Not thrown away. Therefore, in this particular passage and throughout this time, we're going to see a doctrine where the Gentiles are going to be used to provoke Israel. Why? Because Israel is God's salt of the earth. He wants to use this nation to reach all other nations. The problem is, they're not repenting. They're not wanting the job. They're doing something like Jonah. And so judgment's on the way to them. It's going to come, right? At some stage, judgment is going to come on these people if they continue in this. How do we know this? Because Paul says to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, look, if you continue in this, there'll be no place of repentance. No place. Have a look at this. I'd like to come back to Romans 11, but just go across to Hebrews with me. Okay, this is Hebrews chapter 6. And look what it says. And he talks about, you know, going on unto perfection. He talks a bit to these Hebrews that they had a job. They were supposed to be teachers. But in fact, they needed to be taught the basics because they were babies. And then he says this, verse 4, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come." Man, the powers of the world to come. This is exciting, isn't it? That people in that time could partake in the powers of the coming age. This meant the ability, in the name of God, to conduct miraculous things. Like raising the dead. Man, could you imagine that? It's beyond my comprehension to actually imagine this thing happening in front of you. Just imagine you go to a funeral and there is this gray, cold corpse in a box. And then you, living in this age, having the powers of the world to come, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of that box. And then you hear this sound inside the box. Time to open the lid, friends. And out he comes, or she comes. Now, when he or she comes out, man, doesn't look like a ghost. Now, we're talking about a complexion, man. We're talking about everything working. We're talking about health. We're talking about a real resurrection. Not some fake piece of nonsense that we get by people who claim these things today. Are you with me, friends? Are you with me? Now, there's got to be a reason for why these things are not happening today. And I'm trying to show you here why this teaching that we hold to here is so radically important that every Christian must know this. And so you come down here and it says this in verse 6, "If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, since they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh and put them to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which is bare thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." That's the end of that. See, and as this thing starts, if you look at verse 3, where he talks about going on to perfection, it says here in verse 3, "And this will we do, if God permit." God will not permit these people who have tasted of the powers of the world to come if they now fight against the truth. God will not give them this place of repentance, and they will not go unto perfection, and there will be judgment that will come to them. Now my question is, when did the judgment occur, and what happens after the judgment? Right? What happens? Well, my friends, if all of these signs and wonders relate to reaching the nation of Israel, who finally are judged by God, what place do all these signs and wonders have, which we find throughout here? What place do they have for us today? If the reason for them was to reach Israel, and Israel gave an almighty rodent rasp to God and was judged for that, what place do these signs and wonders have then? Well, there's no place for them, right? There's no place for them. So when we go across here, I said we'd go back to Romans 11. I better be honest to my statement. So let's go back to Romans 11. Look what it says in Romans 11 verse 24. "For if thou wert cut out This is Romans 11:24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, that's Israel. So the wild olive tree is the Gentiles, and they were grafted into the good olive tree, which is Israel. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Oh, this is looking to a time when they'll be grafted back in. It's quite evident that as the book of Acts unfolds here, you've got this good olive tree with branches being broken off. Snap, snap. And the wild olive being grafted in to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. And that is something that can be done. In actual cases of orchards, this is done. And then what happens here? Look what it says, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, so the blindness in part happened here, right? The blindness in part happened. And there was this provoking going on, but they said no, finally. And here you get this big warning in Acts 28. Right at the end of the book of Acts, you find this statement being made that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. Here's the last warning we have given to the Jews. And then finally, sometime after that, we get these other seven epistles written by Paul as he moves about Asia and different parts of the earth. Have a look at Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 11 says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hold your place here and just go back. I want you to see something that I think you have to take notice of. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay. Now notice what we're doing. Just notice what we're doing. We are now comparing Paul with Paul. Paul with Paul. Paul, when he's going to the Jew first in 1 Corinthians 12, and then after, when he's received the revelation of the mystery, what's he saying? Let's see whether there's something noticeable here. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Rock and roll, man. Here, you've got the gifts right there, right? There's no doubt. Certainly there's an order, first, second, third, and then after that. First, second, third, after that. First, second, third, and after that, all these miracles and stuff. Signs and wonders. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets. Then go across to Ephesians 4. Hold your place there and just compare. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Well, wait a minute, Paul. In 1 Corinthians 12, don't we have after that? But here, there's no after that. Well, Paul, what's all this stuff for? Verse 12, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints. Don't you think it'd be a little bit remiss of Paul to say that we need all of these miracles and signs and wonders if they are needed for the perfecting of the saints? But what does he do here? He doesn't include that. He just has apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The after that is gone. Here's a good indication of what we can see going on here. Here, with the seven epistles during the book of Acts, you'll find signs, wonders, and all the rest of this. And then afterwards, what do we get in the prison epistles? No, none of those things, but something new coming out. And I'll just show you this, and then we'll finish here. This is in Colossians. Have a look at Colossians. Chapter number 1, verse 25. He says this, "Where have I made a minister according to the dispensation of God?" Oh, a dispensation. You see, that's a nasty word in Christianity today because they've been hoodwinked. Because many Christians have been hoodwinked about this. It's a biblical word, oikonomia. The dispensation of God which is given to me for you, well, for what reason? Why? To fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the word of God. Even what? The mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Oh man, come on. This is what we're talking about. What you talking about? I'm talking about this mystery, man, that was given to Paul the prisoner. That's what we're about, friends. And once we get a hold of this, we're not going to be hoodwinked by people in the pulpit who are trying to tell us that we've got to somehow manifest signs and wonders that have a context in relationship to Israel. Do you dig it, friends? Can you dig it? Because if you dig this, then you're not going to be hoodwinked. And my friends, there's a lot of people that are going to try and hoodwink you. And say to you, oh no, you're not complete in Christ. Unless you can speak in tongues, unless you can get baptized and come up speaking in tongues and do all these things, you're not quite there, you're a second-rate Christian. No. Sorry. You've missed it. You've been hoodwinked. You've been hoodwinked, friends. Is this important? Yes, it's important. Is it something we're going to let go? No, we're not going to let go. We're like the British Bulldog. Why is the British Bulldog got a short, stubby nose? So he can dig his teeth in and still breathe. I got that one from a politician. Okay, well anyway, that's enough for this particular series. What we're going to do is next time we're going to start on the inspiration of the Scriptures. We're going to look in detail at textual criticism. We're going to look at, should we believe everything that's been told us by the scholars? Okay? You say, well, we believe everything's told us from the professionals today, aren't we? Well, how's that working out for you with the doctors? How's that working out for you? Yeah, right. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today, Lord, for all that we have learned from the Scriptures. And we thank Thee, our Father, that we know, Lord, something of the truth of the right division of Scriptures. We thank Thee, our Father, that we can proclaim this truth and freedom. We ask that we'd use it wisely and that You would come to our aid, Lord, as we seek to minister these truths worldwide. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.